of the Nazis. This is 20% skill, 80% fear. Be 100% clear, cause Ryder was ill. Who would've thought he'd be the one that set the West in flames? Then I heard him wreck it with the crystal method, name of the game. Came back.
Welcome back, 11:07 in the zone on a rainy Tuesday. Hopefully you get to hear the whole show today. If you don't, although those EAS tests are especially compelling.
They really are.
Watch out. I'm sure there's flash flood watches, if not warnings, all over the state right now.
Not nearly long enough or intrusive enough.
No, right. I know. It's like
a good thing, too. We don't even know when they're on. Usually.
My phone went off last night. It was like what you hear on the television? My phone did that
last
night.
Mine did that while I was driving home yesterday. It freaked me out. Yeah,
yes.
My phone never has done that.
I know. Mine has never done it.
It's that same loud beeping sound. It does it. Yeah,
yes. It scared the crap out of me. Yes.
I'm sure there is a way to turn it off.
But. I'm sure there is. Well, but obviously, I got a
new phone. My
phone
doesn't care about. Your phone doesn't want you two to die in a flood. My phone doesn't care. My phone goes, I don't care if you die. You know what? It's because I talk trash to Siri all the time.
It's
apparently
flooding.
Mine wants me to freak out while I'm driving because that's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's probably more dangerous than the flood itself.
It probably is.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be looking at your phone while you're driving.
I know, but I don't want to listen to it either. I don't need some loud, alarming thing throwing me off my game. I get in my groove when I'm driving. Let's go to the Revolution Hotline, which, by the way, going to be the place to be, as usual, this week. And I'll tell you more details on that coming up.
I'm looking forward to next Wednesday there.
Yeah, who is that again?
Twisted.
Yeah, you are. Okay, Revolution Food and Music now open for lunch. Weekday lunch special, two tacos, choice of beef, chicken, or fish. We have had those over there. They're good. Chips and choice of salsa. Mild, spicy. If you mix your mild and spicy, it's micey.
That's a different
mild,
restaurant.
Spicy, mango, or salsa verde. And a soft drink for only $7.99. Happy hour from 4 to 7 weekdays with live music on the patio and select $5 pitchers of beer. For live music, country rock favorites from Tyler, Texas, Whiskey Myers this Thursday. With special guests, The Cadillac Tree and Damn Arkansan. Tickets on sale now. Beatles Brunch every Sunday featuring $2 mimosas and the best Bloody Marys in Little Rock. I'll go to Jim Harris on the Revolution Hotline. And, Jim, you pick any one of those, and I'm buying. So, let's get it on.
All right. You tell me when.
Those all sound pretty awesome to me, I got to be honest. Whether we're going to go for
day?
The...
We go
I'm
the
going
day
for the mimosa.
After the show.
The lunches are good. The Beatles Brunch would be nice after church on a Sunday would be great. So, we'll figure that out.
I think you should just... After the show, meet me down there.
Well, today we're actually we're having lunch brought to us.
Oh yeah, we are. Yeah.
And I actually have a 1 o'clock meeting. So, but
we'll...
I know.
Speaking of your phone going off with that sound, mine goes off every time Duffner stuffs one right on the flag, and it was going off all weekend long.
Yeah,
it was crazy. That boy did not hit a bad golf shot. He hit one bad golf shot, one bad putt for 4 days in a major. Pretty good.
He's like Hannibal Lecter. His heart rate never got over 60, even when he
ate Tyler Neva. Yeah, well, it doesn't look like it. I got a feeling, because it looked like Saturday on 18, he was a little shaky. His putter seems to, like David Faraday said, stop in the ground or something when he's... And, of course, the last two holes, he had a cushion, that Furyk wasn't going to touch because Furyk is advertising for 5-hour energy that, unfortunately, it's only 3.5-hour energy.
Yeah, I saw a tweet on Twitter, obviously, this weekend that was, it said, who's going to win, caffeine or nicotine? Nicotine took it this week.
Nicotine
won it over the caffeine this weekend. But yeah, no, he stumbled like once or twice. But I heard a stat. I'm not too sure who said it. Maybe Jim Nance or something. But it was Duffner is ranked 161st in putting, and Furyk was ranked 163rd. That is shocking.
And they were in the final group Sunday. Isn't that amazing?
That is shocking.
Well, most pros can two-putt from 15 feet. And if you hit it to 15 feet all day, it's
not
that hard.
True. If you hit it to 3 or 2, like Duffner did, down the stretch, he had one of the best final rounds in a major that you've seen.
Flawless.
I mean, most guys are... kind of leaking oil the whole day.
Yeah.
It's the first time that a winner has come from the final group in a major this year.
Yeah, this has been a great major year. I say this may be maybe in my top three all-time years for major winners. I mean, I think that everything about it was great.
What happened to the U.S. Open? I'm not remembering.
Well, the guy that's never won. What's his name?
Luke Donald?
No, not McDonald's. I'm sorry, I'm just blanking.
See, we're all blanking.
Justin Rose, sorry.
That's right. Justin Rose and Luke Donald, they both go...
They're both British.
They look the same to me.
They're similar, except that Luke Donald doesn't ever win anything. He just ranks...
No, you're right.
Tiger Woods is number one and has won five times.
Right.
How many years did you have Luke Donald up there, number one, but he never won anything?
Right. You make a good point. It was a fun year for majors, though. I mean, Augusta was really good.
Adam Scott wanted him to win. It was, you know, you knew how he'd collapsed last year in the British Open. It's a great chance to make up for all that. Justin Rose, Bill in the British Open. That was just stirring.
And he goes back-to-back. I mean, back-to-back weeks he wins.
And then Duffner, you hated how he lost 2 years ago. You know, he had that one. Pretty much, you don't ever have it in the bag, as our resident pro in the studio can tell you, do you? But five-shot lead, four to go. But he comes back this year, and yeah, with the Copenhagen and the under the bottom lip, and
that's a man who doesn't dip. Calling it Copenhagen, I like that. That's a Jim doesn't dip.
Copenhagen, give me some of that Copenhagen.
Jim's a run of the mill like me, blue collar beer drinker, but he doesn't dip. I don't either. So
I don't dip, and you don't want to know my one experience with Redman.
I don't dip, but I will say if my wife walked up to me on the 18th green after I just won a major, I might grab her booty like he did his wife. So. Whatever works.
His wife is super cute.
She is cute, but I'm just saying you don't see a lot of guys grab their wife's cans after
of all the guys out there, he definitely outkicked his coverage.
Hey, it could have been worse. If Tiger Woods could have won it and grabbed some other chick's can. So, you know, sorry, I couldn't resist. All right.
It's been a great year. I mean, it's not over for the real golf
but
fan.
It is.
But really, it kind of – I mean, when this major ends, it kind of – you turn your attention – to Razorback football.
That's
I am
true.
So ready.
I will say one thing.
The only
thing I'm watching the rest of the year is to see if, you know, like we had with Bryce Mulder winning one of these later season events, or if, you know, Ken Duke, the rich get richer, if he can pile on some extra money at the end of the year, David Lingworth in some of these late season tournaments. The FedEx Cup has been a failure from a notoriety standpoint. It's just the rich getting richer, but we'll watch. But I'm really, at least we got some Arkansas to pull for.
What we haven't even
good.
Talked about, though, is, you know, the Solheim Cup starts Friday.
And people care about that even less, unfortunately.
I know, which is sad.
It is. It's third behind the Ryder and the President's Cup, unfortunately. And maybe it would be fun and more interesting. I don't know. I guess I did watch a little bit of it the last time around.
I think the Solheim Cup is a little bit more riveting than the President's Cup.
It might be, but I don't.
Solheim Cup this week, or was it last
week?
See, Jim's obviously totally into it.
Never mind. It doesn't matter.
I'm sorry.
Jim, let me ask you this.
Wait a minute. One last golf thing.
I actually have a golf question.
Taylor. How about this Taylor chick that won Big Break?
Taylor Collins? I don't know her. I've never actually watched the show outside of the episode.
Speaking of stuff that people care about less.
She's the best looking woman that's ever been on there next to our local star here.
Oh, well,
not according to Bleacher Report. Christina's no better than
fourth. They didn't count our votes then.
Jim.
Yes.
Tiger Woods, scale 1 to 10. How good a year did he have?
1 to 10. How good a year? He had a 7.
That's what I said.
I said 8.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well, I mean, I don't argue with 8.
But to him,
he just didn't win a major.
Right.
But he won on all his favorite courses, some by landslides. If he could just bottle that up and then bring that attitude, again, this is a repeat from last week, but if he could just bottle his feelings that he has in those courses where he's
He'll win the majors. When's the next time it's at Pebble? When's the next time it's at Arnie's course?
He needs to get every major played at Firestone.
Correct. And when that happens, he'll win. There's no question. When is the next time one of his top
when
four
When does it
courses,
go back to Torrey or Bethpage?
Correct.
Black,
when does it go back to Torrey? When does it go back to Pebble? Yeah, all the courses that he's absolutely killed it on, those are the years that he'll win.
By the way, we are going to move on from the golf talk, or I'm going to have to Plaxico Burress myself.
I don't even want to talk about golf.
Tiger Woods, the sixth.
I think we should just have our own golf show.
No, we already have that. It's called the 1 o'clock show.
Oh, it's actually called overtime. Which actually, Trey's trying to change the name to Extra Holes. Tiger Woods is the 6-1.
I love that name.
Of course you
do. I wish it would be sudden death. Oops, I didn't say that.
Come on. Tiger Woods, the 6-1 favorite. Jim, you're on something today, man. I love it. Tiger Woods, the 6-1 favorite for the 2014 Masters because it's never too early to look ahead. And guess what? When a team wins a Super Bowl next February, there will be odds for the next Super Bowl champion the next day, too. So don't say anything about it. Rory's 12-1. Phil's 12-1. Adam Scott's 16-1. And Sergio Garcia's 40-1. Angel Cabrera's 50-1. Jason Day's a name that keeps coming up. So keep an eye out for that. Let's move on.
Even though Tiger's 0-18, excuse me, my voice is changing. Even though he's 0-18,
happens.
Hasn't he been favored all 18 tournaments?
Yeah, sure. Of course he has.
He'll be favored until it's 50, I guess.
But if you put $1 million on the field the last 5 years, you'd have made a pile of money.
Yeah.
But maybe not a pile because the field's odds are probably much better than Tiger's. Jim, there was a list I saw here today, the most captivating BCS championship possibilities. What would you consider to be, if you can't have Arkansas in it or ASU, what is the most captivating, interesting BCS championship matchup you can think of?
This season?
Yes.
With the teams that are available?
Right.
And avoiding Notre Dame again. I think captivating would be, I think people would get excited about a Florida State, Alabama. Even though those teams are so regional,
mm-hmm.
I think the whole nation would jump on watching that. I think Ohio State against, an SEC representative. Although I think this year, I think the representative going to come out of the East.
Okay.
So I could see it be Georgia. I think people might could get in on Ohio State against Georgia or Ohio State against Florida State. I think that would be a extremely exciting game.
I would love to root for Mark Richt over Ohio State in the national championship game. I would have no problem with that. The two best ones I saw here, and this is from Saturday down south, Texas A&M, Oregon, which would be fast on fast if Manziel's available. We'll get to that in a second. Or Florida, Ohio State with Urban Meyer playing his former team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. But I don't think
Florida's coming out of there either.
I don't think A&M's getting there.
Florida might not be any better than the third best team in the East, and that's probably being generous too. So
it's going to be a real interesting story to watch Oregon this year after Chip Kelly. I mean, it'll be an interesting story totally out there in the Pac-12. Watching Lane Kiffin, Southern Cal does have a great 22 they could probably put out on the field, but are they deep enough to go into the season? And of course, kind of watching what Notre Dame does this year.
Right. Jim, what did you take away from the scrimmage over the weekend? And what is your take on – I'm sure you saw the story that came out. I think it was one of the Nate Allen wrote it. I guess it was pretty damning position on the university blocking the media but basically capitalizing on their exclusivity on their own website. Those are two vast
today?
Questions. What?
Came
out over the weekend.
Today?
Yeah, you need to read it. It came out over the weekend.
Maybe I do. I don't know what they're blocking. But that probably to the scrimmage, which everybody cares about. I think all scrimmages are designed by the coaching staff to help a certain area, or bring along one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody, if we saw necessarily how Arkansas is going to cover. I don't think they necessarily got out there trying to play press coverage and really beat up on the receivers, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, receivers were able to get open. And I don't think it's necessarily an indictment yet on the defensive backs. The receivers made, from the highlights I saw, because I was not at the scrimmage, I was at media day, but I saw enough of the highlights to know that the receivers, and hearing what Brett Bielema said to my question, which I asked him, had he ever had a quarterback go 16-17 in a scrimmage, which is you can hardly ever do that, even in past skeleton drills.
No, that's amazing against air. You're right.
But he gave tons of credit to the receivers. Our receivers made great catches. And then I took that to Brandon Allen, and he agreed. I mean, he made some good throws. He had a throw dropped that was the incompletion. But then his receivers gave that little extra effort that really we only saw it last year, I thought, from Kobe Hamilton maybe, because he got 90 passes. You know, he caught 90 passes, got probably almost half the passes thrown during the season seemed to be in his direction. But you saw, you know, other guys Saturday showing some athletic ability to bring down balls that weren't necessarily perfectly right on their hands. And certainly it was a good scrimmage there. I thought Brandon Allen from that scrimmage, hopefully he eased some concerns that the fans have about his ability to quarterback. And I'll tell you what, scrimmage or not, the question of whether Arkansas, you know, got the right quarterback out of state a couple of years ago between Brandon and Kyle Frazier, certainly has now fully been answered. If it wasn't last year, with Frazier now being moved to safety at Auburn, that's an interesting move there. But, you know, the running backs had good days in Arkansas scrimmage. I don't think we've yet seen what they're necessarily going to do on defense. It was an open scrimmage, but and word travels fast, and you know people probably want to know what Arkansas is doing. I think they're probably pretty plain vanilla on defense for the most part. I think they're going to be, you know, a good team down the road. I really do. I may be somebody may have slipped some Kool-Aid to me over the weekend, but. I think they're, I mean, they're not going to dominate anybody, but the way things are already taking shape before the season even starts, you know, with things with A&M and, you know, things with LSU and all that, I think, you know, I just feel good about the way the whole thing went this weekend, the media day, how the players were everybody sounds together at this time, Justin. You know how it is.
Sure.
Everybody's more together now than they were last year.
I know. Everybody's still looking for the first player to say, man, we really suck and we're going to get our butts kicked all year long.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we don't have any talent. I don't know why you guys are even here. Yeah. I mean, you don't hear that. I mean, everybody's happier than they were last year. They're rededicated. Certainly they're rededicated. But all it really boils down to, and this was true with Houston Nutt, who was good about doing this. Ken Hatfield was good about doing this. And that's keeping a team together when there's setbacks. And that's what we'll see about this staff. Because there will be setbacks, but do they come back fighting harder the next week? Or like last year, do they just quit? Do they let go of the rope, as Houston used to say?
Is there was a conversation yesterday that Chris Kane and I had, and there may be a more a higher number than average of freshmen that are contributing, not just on special teams, but on offense and defense. What were your impressions, I guess, from in that vein as far as Collins and Henry and some of the others, the linemen?
Yeah, there's 10, it looks like, out of the signing class that have really great chances to play, which is still six less than Bobby Petrino had to rely on his first year when the Razorbacks went 5-7. I mean, the places they're relying on them on, though, I mean, think about tight end. Hunter's going to play a lot, and he is great. We knew that coming in. But they've got a lot of players at tight end. They're going to use a whole lot of them. This walk-on, Mitch Lavin is how it's pronounced. He's out of Hawaii that walked on for Arkansas. I mean, he's looked really good for him. And
it's a long way to walk from.
Yeah, it is. He walked all the way across the Pacific. And then you got Austin Tate is back for senior year. He's a blue-collar guy.
Yep.
I love hearing that
Drew Morgan?
Drew Morgan is stepping up like I thought he could. I've always contended. This has been true ever since I was a kid. I'm from Pine Bluff, watched a lot of athletes play against us. If you can succeed on the field big time against Pine Bluff when they're having good teams and the athletes they have, you're going to be able to play, you know, big-time college football. This was true with Keith Jackson and James Rouse and those kind of guys, and it's still true now. And I saw Drew Morgan with quickness that you just don't see out of a lot of Arkansas football players show that last year in the state championship game, not just the speed, but but the quickness, the change of direction that is just amazing. And apparently he's showing that up there here in fall camp. He's going to get a chance to do a lot in different roles, slot receiver, maybe a punt returner, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of other freshmen. Obviously, Collins is going to play. Kirkland told me, looked me right in the face, Justin, and it's just like, I mean, his face just said, man, of course I'm here to play, you know, I'm here to, you know, basically play immediately. I'm going to start. You know, he had no questions about it.
Did you get a chance to visit with Alex Collins? Because I've not
yes,
talked.
Yes, I did. Yeah, they shared that their two lockers are side by side.
Okay.
Collins was much more, I would say, humble. I hope that's not taken the wrong way than Kirkland was. Collins sounded like what a coach might tell you, too. It's
yeah.
like, you know, playing time is earned. I mean, you know, I did come here to play, but everything I get will be earned. You know, it's like, and I told him, I said, well, you're going to be a good coach someday.
Yeah.
Because you already got that kind of speech down. But
well, we're going to play a little bit of that from over the weekend in just a minute here. Back to Drew Morgan for a moment. I will say this. He does not want for confidence. And, again, the difference between confidence and being cocky is whether or not you can back it up. And he's a guy that's backed it up all the way through his career. He has no doubt in his mind whatsoever. I've never talked to a high school athlete like him. And, of course, it was the day after he won the Landers Award. But I've never talked to a high school athlete that was so confident in his ability
yeah.
to walk on a college campus, even though it's in the SEC, contribute right away, and not only that, but be a star, and be a star wherever they want to use him. Returner, sure. You know, offense, great. Defense,
yeah.
I'll go both ways. I don't care. I mean, he is the most confident dude I've ever talked to.
I'd like to see him with another year before he's thrown out there on the field in Ben Herbert's strength and conditioning program. What he's done with the players who are up there is pretty amazing. I know everybody's really high on the last strength and conditioning coach. I mean, this guy's even maybe a step up from there. He's more focused on each end of what I was told by the players is that he's more focused on where directing his conditioning programs individually instead of as a group, instead of everybody all
smart,
across
though?
The board doing the same thing. Like for the linemen, it's really geared toward their legs. For the backs and the receivers like that, it's kind of a little bit defensive backs, safeties. That he's kind of more upper body. He'll go and buy the right groceries for them, to eat the right foods, things like that. I talked to several linemen who had gone through, talked to Grady Allison about him eliminating all his fried foods and bad carbs and eating the right carbs and proteins. And he's put on 30 pounds, and he's got a chance to step right in there. He's 30 pounds heavier than he was in April, and it's not fat.
Right.
Heavy. It's,
Jim, maybe we should go up there and see if we can get a personal training period with Coach Herbert.
Well, I could give Grady another 30 pounds. I could definitely give 30 of my own away. I don't need this, but I need to go the other direction. But it was really exciting to hear these guys and how they've all bought into that.
What's your?
I would like Drew to get man. As soon as Drew gets hit by Courtney Upshaw or something from Alabama, I want him to still get up and have that same confidence.
Have his head connected to his shoulders, yes. It would be nice for him to beef up a little bit. You're right. If anything, he's just slightly undersized, but he's definitely quicker than most, so that'll be fun to watch him perform. And Hunter Henry, we've seen him in person in the last couple of months. He's freakish, and he's only going to get bigger, stronger, faster. So what's your gut feeling? Is this a bowl team?
Yeah, I think they can get to 6 wins now. I really feel that's a legitimate target. That was the Ole Miss target last year. Don't forget, you went down there, I think, didn't you, to Oxford?
Did.
When we're sitting there, and we weren't the only people, not just that we were from Arkansas saying it. There were a lot of people who didn't think Ole Miss might get past UCA.
Right.
And that we thought they might win one game. And as it turned out, you know, they built over the course. I mean, they got blown out by Texas earlier in the year, but I'll bet if they had played Texas in December, might have been a whole different story. They just grew each week to a 6-win team. That's what I see is possible with this Arkansas team. Of course, that's considering or hoping that nothing happens to Brandon Allen during the course of that he can stay healthy and that they don't get a lot of, you know, key areas with injuries again. But, you know, it's each week you just don't know. After it's all said and done, we'll see it completely different than we saw it forecast. You know, somebody's going to fall that we didn't expect. Arkansas was that team last year that people might have penciled in a loss, and then after it's over, you know, that was a win for quite a few teams. Well, I mean, somebody's going to do that again this year. Who's it going to be? And is it on Arkansas' schedule? And can they win six?
Yeah.
I do. I think they can, and I think that maybe there's an upset in there in that big run of four games. I mean, either Florida, A&M, South Carolina, I think Arkansas can win one of those. You notice I'm not throwing Alabama in there.
Right, right. So you haven't lost your mind completely. Also was announced yesterday, Jim, the relationships with the SEC for bowl games going forward, and they've extended some and added some. Texas Bowl is new in Houston. That's going to be against the Big 12 and the Belk Bowl against an ACC team in Charlotte. And also renewing with the Birmingham Bowl and the Advocare V100 Bowl, which is better known as the Independence Bowl down in Shreveport.
That's a mouthful.
It is, it is. But you know what? And we were talking yesterday. We like Shreveport.
So we're back to the Independence Bowl?
Yeah, maybe so.
I guess I quit reading after it got to the bad bowls, but I say bad. Any bowl's good now,
well,
right?
Look, they're basically last in the picking order, so if Arkansas goes 6-6, that might be a likely destination this year.
Well, yeah. See, they tried to squeeze Shreveport out of there, but to think they could maybe to think that an SEC team who doesn't necessarily – finish in the upper echelon could still go to a cool town like San Antonio at Christmas time or the holiday time would be fantastic. What a trip. What a trip for fans and families to play in that against a Big 12 team.
Which game is in San Antonio?
Yeah, the Texas Bowl, isn't it?
Texas Bowl's in Houston. It's also a cool town, though.
What's the bowl in San Antonio?
That's the Alamo Bowl.
Oh, well, switch.
Great guess.
I think Baylor played in that last year.
Here's what I really meant to say. Houston's a great town. and so is Charlotte. I mean, they have a lot of things going for them. So.
I'm curious if they'll take anybody that's from the West, though, unless they're Auburn
Houston's
or something.
Yeah, well, that's true. It would probably be a team on the eastern side. And I guess we lose the Gator Bowl, but we have it this year.
Right, I think that's right.
Or do we get it like periodically?
Now the Gator Bowl is still listed in the relationships going forward.
Okay, it's kind of a weird deal though. Somehow they can get Notre Dame on some kind of strange occurrence if Notre Dame doesn't qualify for the, you know.
I think if Notre Dame has three losses or less, they automatically get in the national championship game. And anything more than that, they get their choice of whatever other game they want. So.
You know, I'm so excited about football because I was watching some Johnny Manziel stuff and I was reading that great story on ESPN by Wright Thompson that he actually did the interview before all the stuff broke about the autographs.
Yeah.
But you could see it kind of coming when you read it.
Mm-mm.
But who's going to be the big story? Who's going to be the Manti Te'o? You know, there were so many great stories last year. That's why college football, I cannot wait for the season to get here just for the craziness that's going to explode. For us to cover.
I'm excited.
I think everyone's excited.
Yeah, I mean, because normally I couldn't care less this time of year, but this year I'm really into it. I don't know why. I'm kidding. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. You're right. And speaking of this, you know, we need to have a segment at the end of your – every time we have you on, at the end of the segment, we're gonna do a Jim's Gut segment. So we already did Jim's Gut on the outcome for Arkansas on whether or not they're going to a bowl game. What's your gut on Manziel suspension? Yes, suspension for a period of time, suspension for the whole season, or no suspension whatsoever?
Well, my gut right now is that nothing's going to happen.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, he's sort of the catalyst for change. Something's got to be done anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
About this whole autograph situation. In just a couple of weeks now, Arkansas is going to profit by having all these fans come up there and get autographs on fan day. And everybody else will do that too. Auburn just did it this weekend. Before Duffner got there. Somehow or another, this whole thing's gonna go wild. And the NCAA website, that was the strangest thing.
Yeah, it was.
Is that you could go to a the NCAA website and find an actual Manziel jersey with his name on it.
Yeah, that's
on
weird.
The NCAA website. They were profiting.
They would have kept it like that had we not called, like, had the media not called them out on
that's
it.
That's true.
Yeah, they called them on it, and then they found that deal where the signed autographed pictures by Reggie Bush. What a hypocritical move.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I mean, it's like this is all going to come to a tremendous head here, and stipends are just around the corner.
Jim, one last thing. There's a line of signature colognes from schools around the country, including six SEC schools. Arkansas is not among them. I'm a little offended. I would love to smell an Arkansas cologne.
There's not an Arkansas cologne?
No, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, Florida, Tennessee.
And the Auburn cologne smells like Copenhagen.
Yes, it does. In honor of Jason Duffner. And the, yeah.
And Arkansas doesn't. Of course, everybody makes.
Couldn't
jokes
it smell
that
like.
It would be like a pig style.
That's you make what it, I said.
Shouldn't you make the Auburn cologne smell like a guy would after a date with Catherine Webb or something? I mean, isn't that the rule?
That is not your very first, like, thought when it comes to your mind. When you think of Arkansas Razorback cologne, you're automatically thought goes to pig.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, Jim, how does the LSU Tiger smell different than the Auburn Tiger? I don't know. So many questions.
It smells like it wants to take a blindside punch at you or something.
Sounds like a guy who just got out of the joint for some sort of sexual assault and or cheap
shot. It smells like Team Spirit. That's what it smells like.
There you go. Jim, appreciate it. Good stuff.
Yeah.
SportingLifeArkansas.com, and it will all soon be here. We won't care about Johnny Manziel soon. We'll talk about actual football. I'm so excited.
Finally. Hopefully.
Yes.
Thank you, all.
Jim, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
All right. We'll check some Keithley Service Company Live fan feedback in just a moment. It's 11:38. Coming a little bit later, Jason Alley's coming in from Tropical Smoothie Cafe with a review of Meet the Millers.
Oh, good. I wanted to see that.
Maddie saw it.
Well, I don't want to spoil it.
And Sugarcane saw it, and now Jason Alley's seen it. So
we both agree it's raunchy.
Raunchy.
Really? Yes. But was it good?
Yes, it was very fun.
Oh, good.
That goes without
much
saying.
Much better Christina. Than Elysium.
Yeah. I'm kind of over him.
That goes without saying. Matt There's Damon. A lot of trashy movies.
Matt
that
Damon
like...
is not my favorite. I'm more of an Affleck guy than a Damon guy. Just me. Whatevs.